banks of the Great River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast, to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the Buzzer Podcast, independent music, releases, global coverage. Welcome and enjoy. Episode 73. Today on the show, New Jersey rockers Shred Flintstone. The release of their second full album, Unlimited Power, is out September 3rd. The trio's singer and guitarist, Dan Barecchia, joins us to give us the digs on the band and introduce the album. The band kicks off their release with a show at the Broadway in Brooklyn, New York, which is the start of their fall tour down the East Coast. A great chat. Enjoy the show. Hi, Dan. It's great to have you sign in from New Jersey.
Yes, New Jersey. And you're up in Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto, Canada. Well, just outside of Toronto, Canada. I'm in farmland. Most of my life in Toronto, but came out here and operate a business. I'm a creative as well. I'm a writer and a podcaster.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about your full-length album, Unlimited Power, out September 3rd.
Yes.
If the two tracks that I've listened to are any indication, it's going to be a real banger. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks.
So what attracted you to the rock genre?
Just growing up, my parents played a lot of like jam classic rock music, like the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers. And I just kind of grew up on rock music. And then one day I found Jimi Hendrix and then kind of spiraled from there into the genre.
It's funny. That was my entrance into rock too.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's a great portal into a whole.
Oh yeah. Thing. Yeah. It's too bad that he wasn't treated fairly by the industry.
He wasn't treated fairly by probably a lot of people around him. I'm guessing.
No, not at all. Not at all. So the trivia question is going to be centered around rock. The question is, what artist made up the supergroup, the Traveling Wilburys?
I've never even heard of them. I have no clue. I don't know who that is.
Oh, help me, God.
I didn't know I was being quizzed.
Okay. George Harrison, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and Bob Dylan.
Oh, that sounds like too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, there was a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Okay. All right, it's one more question. Believe it or not, Jimi Hendrix had only one top 40 hit. Which song was it?
That must have been, let me guess, you know, it was probably either Hey Joe or Voodoo Child or Purple Haze.
No, it was Along the Watchtower.
Oh, right. The Bob Dylan cover.
Yeah.
Because it's a Bob Dylan cover. That's why. Yeah, you know what? That probably gets played on the radio still more than any other song. So,
well, yeah, if top 40 is radio play, it doesn't necessarily mean his best hit, right?
No, not at all. I don't think
same
that's
way it is today. So how did you happen upon music? Like, were you surrounded by music growing up or?
You know, no one in my family is really a musician, but like I said, my mom played a lot of music for me when I was younger. And I just always had this, I was always like, as a kid, just like kind of like singing and making up weird random songs with no lyrics. And I don't know, I was really into like my first CD was like the Rugrats movie soundtrack and like.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, I loved music as like a little kid. And then my parents were always playing music and I don't know. No musicality like in my family, but I don't know. I was introduced to good music as a kid.
I seem to.
Well, that's pretty cool. I wouldn't put Rugrats in that, but.
Yeah, no, I that's like not that. Yeah, I don't know. Something about that soundtrack to that movie as a kid, like really switched something on for me, you know?
Oh, yeah, I get that. Well, the to be honest with you, my first album purchase was the Osmond Brothers.
The Allman Brothers?
The Osmond Brothers.
Oh, who's the Osmond Brothers?
We're going way back, but my older sister was into them, and yeah, we sort of shared albums, and anyways, that's my trivia. So when did you pick up guitar?
Oh, probably halfway through high school. Probably around the same time I started smoking weed. Probably somewhere around there. I was terrible at first. I didn't really know what I was doing, as most people probably are. And I just spent a lot of time like in my room by myself playing the guitar until I learned how, watching YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. Are you high when you perform?
No, I don't really smoke anymore. It's not really a part of my life, but back then it was a bit more, probably a little too much, honestly.
Well, I think a lot of people go through that. They go through a lot of stuff. So how did the band form? You have a 3-piece band.
Yeah,
which includes yourself as lead vocals and guitarist, mm-hmm. Ed Weisgerber on bass, and Joey
Giambra. on the drums.
On the drums. So tell me, how did you guys get together?
So long story short, I was in another band before this band. And, you know, there were some songs I had that didn't really fit the vibe of the old band. And I wanted to start another project so I could, just like a solo project, so I could bring those songs to fruition. And I thought of a name, Shred Flintstone, and I was like, that's too good of a name to not be a band. And then, I started making the songs by myself at first. Had my friend Greg play the drums for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but he was in other bands and he couldn't really commit fully. And then I found Joey just through being in the scene locally in New Jersey. And and then we went through a couple of different bass players along the way, and then eventually found Ed, and he's been the permanent one for the past like 3 years.
That's pretty good. And you recorded the album was recorded live, like the entire album?
There were layers and stuff. Like we put like guitar overdubs and all the vocals were done separately. But like the bass and the rhythm guitar and the drums were all played live pretty much in the studio.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Well, we're coming up to the song Unlimited Power.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is title track of the album. Can you tell me a bit about the song?
That song was we wrote it and we didn't like it for a long time, and then we scrapped it and then came back to it like a year later and thought it sounded great, and we were like, yeah, we're gonna put this on the record. And the lyrics are, I love the lyrics on it. I really like, I'm happy with the way they came out. And yeah, that kind of encapsulates the theme of the whole record. That's all.
I love the intro. The video is incredible.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, it gave me, believe it or not, it gave me, and I'll probably get date myself, gave me Mighty Python and Power Ranger vibes.
those are the two things we were going for. So
no way.
Yeah, really, like,
oh my God, I'm glad I picked it up.
Monty, very like power, very much Power Rangers influence, very Monty Python influenced. Those are two big influences for our visuals for sure. Not even in that video, in other videos we've made too.
Yeah, well, that's what I watch. I watched that, which was you collaborated with Spaghetti Jesus on that. is incredible. That's the fourth video you've collaborated with him on.
Yeah, that's cool. Yes, it is. We've pretty much done most of our music videos with him. He's a really creative guy. He does a lot of like live visuals, works on a lot of cool different projects with really good bands. And yeah, he's a cool, interesting person all around.
Well, he definitely is outstanding in his creative. Yeah. Like, it opens like blown creative. Away. I'm watching, I'm going, oh my God, it's Power Rangers, man. Oh my God, yeah. It's Monty Python. I was like, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
He built that whole robot suit out of cardboard and spray paint.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So who's in the robot?
So that was Joey. We kind of like cut things around and make it seem like it wasn't Joey, but it was Joey volunteered.
Okay. So Joey's the robot. Joey's the robot. Yeah. Well, we're going to take the song for a spin right now. Unlimited cool. Power.
Yes.
Also noticed that there was a PlayStation in it.
Yeah.
How'd that come about? Was that another
just totally random? No, very random. We were just filming a scene at a park where we literally, I just have a bunch of junk in my car, and I was like, what can we use to as props in this scene? And then I had this old PlayStation. Yeah,
you had an old PlayStation in the trunk of your car.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why we used it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no other reason other than that.
Okay, so what's the New Jersey music scene like?
I mean, there's like, it's different. It's always changing. Like, I kind of, when I came up kind of got raised in the music. There was a bigger scene kind of in Montclair, New Jersey, at this place called the Meat Locker, which is kind of like the grimier, less known version of New Jersey, like a New Jersey version of CBGB's that's like still around though.
Okay.
And it's just a small like punk basement covered in graffiti that a lot of pretty well-known acts have come through like in their early days. And that's kind of where I played a lot of my first like bigger early shows and kind of taught like where I guess would people would say cut my teeth playing music there. And but that there's it's kind of after the pandemic, there's not really shows there anymore. I don't even know if it's functioning. So the scene in New Jersey at in like that area is kind of dead. There's like a decent scene down in Asbury Park. Like there's a couple cool venues down there, some good bands out of Asbury. And Jersey City's got a couple cool spots to play. But, you know, at this point, it's like the places to play are around here are mostly in New York at this point.
I saw on Facebook that you have a couple gigs booked.
Yeah, we have a whole tour coming up in September where we're going to be touring the East Coast for about 2 weeks. So we do have some gigs coming up. We also have a release show in Brooklyn on the second, our album release show.
Yeah, your tour goes from New Hampshire, Vermont, Pennsylvania.
Penicillin.
Yeah, I know.
Penicillin.
Pennsylvania, Ohio, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida. It's pretty aggressive tour.
Yeah, we've done bigger and longer, though, so it's nothing to us at this point.
So how many dates will that be?
I think it's like 14 shows, 14 dates.
Okay.
Something like that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
2 weeks.
I look, I'm sure that you'll get a lot of traction with this.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens, you know.
So the track Unlimited Power had a bit of punk into it. Actually, a lot of punk.
Yeah.
Is most of your music have that influence?
Yeah, I'd say that, like, songwriting for me, I draw a lot from probably, like, the Ramones, maybe. Kind of simplistic punk music is where a lot of my songwriting comes from, and I try to incorporate like other stuff too, but I'd say that's probably the root of like my songwriting, where it comes from. But we collaborate a lot too. It's not like I just write the songs, like the other guys kind of come from different places. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of punk roots in what we do, although it's not just strictly punk music.
What is your creative process like?
Usually Ed or I will have a riff or a bass line or a guitar line that we just jam on at practice, and we'll just work it out. We iron it out, come up with new things on the spot. And it used to be just me writing songs and bringing it to the band, but now it's just we present like a skeleton to a song and bring it to practice and work it out that way.
Oh, that's cool.
Sometimes the songs get written in like a day. Sometimes they take like a year to come to fruition, you know? So
yeah, that makes sense. I see some of the B-52 influence in your music.
Oh, that's what my girlfriend tells me. She's like, you sound like the guy from the B-52s.
Oh, good. Like, that's, so we think alike. Yeah, that's what I heard when I was listening to your music.
That's so cool. I think they're so cool. That's such a cool band. She loves them. And she really got me to appreciate them more than I used to. And I don't know. I don't really think about them ever when I'm writing, but like, I think I just kind of might like be similar to that guy because I'm weird. I don't know. It's because I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, no, that's great. That's cool. I'll take that.
Yeah. No, I definitely see it. I definitely see it. So we're going to spin the next track from the album Red Dawn, and we'll talk about it next. Okay.
All right. Sick. Yeah.
So Red Dawn.
Thank you.
That track surprised me because it started out almost like a classic rock and then it immediately went into some punk.
Yeah.
More of a punk rock. I love it. I love it. Both tracks are really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really good. So does it have a backstory?
Red Dawn actually does. Usually like songs kind of just don't have a backstory, but that one, it was kind of, I was kind of coming from, I don't like to like elaborate on the lyrics of songs because I don't know. I just would rather let people make their own interpretations, but that one kind of was came from two different things. There was all those protests happening in all around the country last summer, and I don't know, I was like kind of, I was going to a lot of them out in New York City, and just I was like out in the thick of it, just seeing all this stuff going down. Like I remember being at a protest like near City Hall in New York, like just seeing helicopters and shit, and it was crazy. It was just crazy. And I don't know, I feel like I was just, I wrote the lyrics for that like kind of around that time, and just I don't know, it felt very apocalyptic and wild and intense, and it's kind of where the lyrics came from. But also Red Dawn is the name of this like cheesy 80s action movie. I forgot the name of the lead actor, but he's like one of those like popular 80s like blonde male leads. And it's about like this, it's super like propaganda, like American propaganda, like everyone hate Russia, communist, anti whatever, anti Red Scare shit. And yeah, it's like about these like Russians that invade this Midwestern town and they have to like fight back. It's really stupid and cheesy, but I just like, I like making fun of stupid, cheesy stuff and like turning it into the opposite of what it was intended. So.
Are you talking about the 2012 movie with Chris Hemsworth in it?
No, no, no. It's like an 80s action movie with, God, who's that guy? He's like this, he's like, oh my God. He's in that dancing movie in the 80s, the blonde, like male 80s lead guy that like Patrick Swayze, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, you got it right. Patrick Swayze.
I'm not near my, are you on a laptop? Can you look up the movie Red Dawn?
Mm?
What?
Okay. I didn't know what you said. You were right. It was Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's a dumb movie. And we were in, this is actually a story behind that, why that movie is relevant to me is because our first time playing South by Southwest,
okay,
we were staying at some random dude's house in Austin, and this dude was like coked out, like party addict guy, and he would stay up all night, and he was like, he wouldn't let us sleep. Like, we would come home exhausted from playing shows all day, and he like would not let us sleep. He would just have all the lights on, like playing music, like trying to party. And one night,
wow,
one night he wasn't like home, and we were like, fuck yes, like we get to go to sleep, like he's not here. And we all fell asleep, and then he busts through the door at like 2-3 in the morning, and he just like wakes all of us up. He's like, everybody up, we're watching Red Dawn. And then we were like, shit. And then, yeah. We didn't sleep very well during that.
Yeah, yeah. Right about the 1984 movie. Mm-hmm. It was Patrick Swayze. But there is another movie called Red Dawn that was out in 2012 with Hemsworth. So
I didn't know about that. So.
Yeah, yeah. Never know. Never know.
That's kind of where Red Dawn comes from. Also, I was doing my best Iggy Pop impression.
Pardon me?
I was doing my best Iggy Pop impression.
Okay. No, it's a good time. Would you have a video with that?
We want to make a video for that one. So hopefully we'll get one out.
Okay. Awesome. So what are your plans with the album? You're going to do a tour on the East. Do you have any other plans?
Pretty much we're going to tour. And that's really it. Like, hopefully we'll be able to put it out on vinyl eventually. Mm-hmm. And there's not really much else we can do besides that.
Yeah. So do you have any plans with the band for the rest of the year other than the tour?
We're going to tour, hopefully play some shows in October and November, and start writing some new stuff.
Okay. And they should be released when? The following year?
Yeah, that's usually how we operate. We tend to be in the pattern of writing over the winter and recording in early parts of the year, you know, then release like summer later in the year. It's kind of our pattern.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are your thoughts on streaming and the payout to artists?
Well, I mean, it's pretty pathetic. It's not really anything. You can't, especially if you're not like a huge, like Billie Eilish, like Universal Music artist, like you're not making anything off streaming for the most part. And then you've got these like giant corporations who just make all of the money and keep it to themselves. And then you've got everyone fighting for scraps at the bottom, like fighting to be on playlists. And it's it's a big rat race. And the only winners are the few executives at these companies. And it's kind of sad, actually.
If you could change things, what would you do?
I have no clue. I can't pretend like I have any answers, but I'd probably just make spread things out evenly between artists, like make streams be worth more and have every artist get paid more for their music, which literally is the backbone of these companies.
Do you think that would help if there was platforms where the artists were paid directly by the fans?
There are platforms like that, but as long as there's platforms that allow people not to do that, then those aren't really going to work. I mean, you've got like Patreon and stuff, which are cool for like podcasts and stuff like that. And those really...
They do have platforms like that, but not en masse like Spotify.
Yeah, but for music, it's different because music is just like you listen to the songs and you see people live. So it's like, yeah, I think if Spotify could adapt a model more like a Patreon or something like that, that would be cool. But they won't because, you know, that's not how capitalism works, unfortunately.
You never know. Never know.
Yeah, I would love that. Don't get me wrong. But like,
if your band could front for any band, past or present, which one would it be?
Like open up for any band?
Yeah. Open up for any band. If your band could open up for any band, past or present, who would it be? Or artist?
Such a great question. We probably, all three of us, would have different answers. But I'm going to guess that we would say probably Ween. Because we all, like, collectively very much love Ween.
Wow.
Probably Ween, the Beastie Boys, the Ramones, God. That's a very big question. There's a lot of bands I would love to play with.
Like, yeah, I know.
What?
That's why I asked it.
That's a great question. Yeah, that's just off the top of my head comes to mind.
Have you ever come to Canada?
We've played Montreal. We've played Ottawa. We played Toronto. We played Vancouver.
And what city is your favorite?
Probably Vancouver. No offense.
That's okay. And why? Just, because of the atmosphere? They're a bit more laid back over there.
It's the West Coast. It's more like, you know, Washington and stuff like that. And it's a bit more relaxed. And there's just a nicer scenery out there.
Yeah. So what venue were you at?
We played a house show. We didn't play a venue in Toronto. We played like a somebody's house. It's a very small basement we played.
Oh, okay. Private party.
Yeah, it was like a private thing.
Okay, cool. So tell me, before we go, I want to know about the other band members. Can you tell me a bit about Ed on the bass?
Ed's a great guy. He's a very crafty individual. He is very talented in not only music and art. He's a painter. He is a... I don't know the right word. Someone who does text on like vehicles and like professional text drawing, like painting.
Oh, wow.
He does a lot of commissioned work. He does like art handling. Like he's all around. He does all like a lot of our photos, a lot of flyers. He did the whole album cover. Like he's just talented all around. Joey's the mom of the band. The mom of the band.
Okay.
Joey's a fantastic cook. Loves to chill, loves to have a good time. Really great drummer, has elevated our music. Makes me rethink songs that we're working on. Always is striving for us to be better and do better. And also booked our entire tour. Is great with a great outgoing personality.
Yeah.
So we all balance each other out pretty well.
That's pretty cool. So Ed did the artwork for the album.
Yes, Ed did the cover art for the album.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So what social channel is best to follow the band for all your updates?
Definitely Instagram. At this point, that's pretty much where we post everything. I don't like social media. I really can't like go on other platforms at this point. It's too much for me. So Instagram is really the only thing that we're pretty much on. And then our music's on Spotify and YouTube.
So you're offering pre-save for the album as well?
Yeah. Yes.
On what platforms?
On Spotify, really. That's kind of where we focus and direct people to listen.
Okay, awesome. You're not on Bandcamp?
We're on Bandcamp, but I don't know. It's like, we don't have any vinyl to sell right now, so not really pushing it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and introducing us to your music and to your great band. You guys are putting out great music. I love your music. And
thanks a lot.
I hope you all the success in the world for the sophomore album.
Thanks for talking to me.
Well, that's a wrap. Thank you all for tuning in to the Buzzer Podcast. Thank you to the artists on today's show. This show wouldn't happen without your music. Episodes run Mondays and Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Subscribe fees at thebuzzerpod.com. The Buzzroll Media has sponsored this podcast. Music is provided by Kevin Estrella, Pyramids on Mars. On Air Indie, from iPad to yours, over the airwaves. Have a good one. See you next episode. Cheers.